scriptures. We're just going to go over, we're sticking in the vein of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 2. And this is really interesting because of everything that God has done for Israel. They turn their back on him and they run away. I mean, God has done some remarkable things for Israel, and he has really done some things that would make you go, God, you are God, I will follow you everywhere you go. And they turn their back on him. So the portions of scripture is Jeremiah 2, 1 through 13. Yeah, 80s rock. It's Jeremiah 2, verses 1 through 13, and then Jeremiah 3:19. So what you can do, it's old school, I know, if you have a Bible, like one of these, you can stick your finger in one chapter and then flip it to chapter 3, but if you have your phone, you're steps ahead of me. And then James 1, 3 through 16. And I'm giving you these scriptures because I don't usually teach off of a PowerPoint, it's just something I mean, it's cool to do it, but I personally would rather just flow, right? So these are the scriptures we'll go over today. I just want to tell you guys that my wife is madly in love with me, and I am madly in love with her. No, for real. It happened like 17 years ago, man. Bam. My wife is a yes. Yeah, the fries. True story. My dad was actually Mark Master's boss like 30 plus years ago. This is how God happens, right? My dad worked with Mark Masters back in the day, never knew until we started dating. And my wife loves me, and she sees past my flaws, and there's a few of them. But she loves me a lot, and I love her a lot. I would do anything for her. My wife helps me when I'm sick. Now that's true love, the flu test. When you got the flu, married couples, you know this, your spouse has the flu, you gotta be there to help. I mean, if it's going down, you have to help. That's true love, you know. True love. And I really love my wife. And let me tell you actually about our wedding day. We were in Garden City at Faith Baptist Church. Is that it? Okay. Garden City, Michigan, Faith Baptist Church. All the Masters family were there. There was like 600 of them. I have like 6 family members, so I don't have a lot, but they were all there. And we had some interesting events happen. You know, Amy and I loved each other so much. We're like, we're going to get married. We got married. But the day of the wedding, there were some events that just really rocked our world. And we were not expecting it. One of the bridesmaids casually didn't show up. That was awkward, right? To say the least. And my father-in-law is in the back just like, this guy, let me at him. My Uncle Tony was there. It was just crazy. But we didn't have a bridesmaid. She was in charge of some other duties. Those duties didn't happen, like a runner, like flowers, you know. I mean, it was awkward, but we got married. Our piano player didn't show up. True story. You want to know why? Because he was partying with the bridesmaid. Yeah. We laugh about this now, but it wasn't funny at the time. It was awkward. So awkward. Piano player didn't show. We had a bad wedding day. But ever since then, we've had ups and downs, but we've had a pretty good marriage. And I tell Amy that I would do anything for her, literally. I really love her. She's my bride. We've been together total for 17 years. And this is an image of Jesus and the bride, the church. Jesus wants to do anything for us. But what if I was like some sleazeball that hung out with other women? Right? If I decided the grass is greener, I'm just not satisfied. And what if I was said I was going to be home, but I never came home? What kind of love would that be? And what if I hid everything from her? If I hid text messages and emails and just was always shady? I was married to my wife, but I just thought I could find better. And what if I followed after someone else? This is the relationship that Israel had with God. Do you guys understand that? When you read the Old Testament, it's like a roller coaster. Thanks for the help, God, but we can do better. Don't worry, God. It's not you, it's me. Right? I think back all the great things that Amy has done for me over the years. Number one, she publicly claimed me in front of everyone. How cool is that, man? She publicly claimed me, right? She had a dress on, looking hot. I mean, I'm all like in my tuxedo. She claimed me. She said, she was unashamed. She's like, this is mine. This man is mine. He belongs to me. Amy's been a great helper all throughout my life with her. She bore children for me. That's a good friend. When you got a friend that'll have children for you, you know what I'm saying? Right? You ever see how that works? Amy feeds me, and it's working. I'm growing. She prays for me every day. I know she does. She doesn't have to say it in front of me like I'm praying for you, Gordon, Heavenly Father. She's just like, she prays for me. That's what a good wife does. She manages my finances for my business. And it works. We're cool. We're not living in anyone's house of you guys, you know. We're doing fine. She trains up my kids to follow Jesus and seek after godly things. Amy is an awesome bride. She's faithful. She's a true Proverbs 31 woman, and she's unstoppable. I love her. And some of you guys have wives like this that will just do anything for you. They passed the flu test, right? They passed all these other tests. They have been there. But look at the great things God did for Israel too. God calls the church the bride of Christ. God adopts us as his children. You see the correlation here? He adopts us. He's our provider. He's our defender. And whatever season you're in your life, I want you to know personally that God is completely in love with you. And I know that sounds ooey-gooey, but he is. He loves you a lot. He sees past your flaws. God put a ring on our finger and he said, you are mine. That should make you happy, right? God put a ring on our finger. He said, you're mine. I will provide for you. I will defend you. He's completely in love with us. And the Bible isn't this long list of rules. It's a love story of God pursuing us ever since the beginning. God's greatest commandment is love me. And then you can love others. But if you can't love God, you don't know how to love people properly. Right? If you can't love God, you're lacking. But what if at any moment I chose to be unfaithful? Do you know how much I would lose? I would lose a lot. I would lose everything. Israel, God's people, did that a lot. So go to Jeremiah chapter 2. And we'll start right at the first verse. We're just going to go through 1 through 13. So Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 1. It says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, it came to me saying, go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness in a land not sown. He says, I remember how young and devoted you were to me, like a bride that loves her husband. Some of you can relate. Remember the stuff you did early in your marriage? Right? Yeah. Amy and I would do everything together. She is my best friend. I remember, we would drive, when we lived in Dearborn, we would drive to Grosse Pointe and we would play That's My House. I don't know if you guys ever did that when you were young and broke. You drive to a rich neighborhood and you go, That's My House. Then you go to the next one and That's My House. Played That's Our House? Okay. Yard work together. I mean, she's a yard work trooper. I was just kind of like hanging out, like doing a couple things here and there. But man, I had fun. We still have fun doing yard work together. Nights out, hanging out with your wife. That's awesome, right? Because you know you're going home with her and she loves you and she adores you. It's like the movie Up. I had my niece Lainey over this weekend with Sam and Levi. It was insane. Mark, I give you credit. It was just off the hook. We had the fire extinguisher out. It was just lots of kids, lots of screaming. Oh, my goodness. But we seen the movie Up, and I had to throw it in my sermon. The movie Up where the old couple grow old together, and one day she passes, you know, and then he goes to Tom and All Falls. What is it? What's the place where... Paradise Falls. Okay. That's where they go. They grow old together, and they do that. One thing that we did that was really cool is we seen Boys to Men together this summer. How about that? Boys to Men, ABC, BBD. We went and seen them, at DTE, that's it. I was gonna say Pine Knob, but it's before DTE. So we went out. That's what grown married folks do. That's what a life looks like. David, when you get married, you might go to a Boys and Men concert later, but when you're grown, you go and do things like that. And there's like a certain bedtime that you have to abide by. Right? Israel followed God in the wilderness, and at one time they were holy to the Lord, and no one messed with Israel. Right? If you mess with Israel, you're messing with God himself. Guys, would you ever let another person put their hands on your wife? You would never do that. You would never do that. Or offend your wife? You would never let them do that. You'd punch them. Like Marty McFly, right in the face. You would do that. That's how God defends us. He defends us. He provides for us. Look at verses 4 through 5. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the clans of the house of Israel, thus says the Lord. What wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me and went after worthlessness and became worthless? He's saying, what wrong did your fathers find in me? So why did you leave me, Israel? I thought we had a good thing going here. You used to love me. I used to protect you. I fed you in lands that no one could live in. What did you find so bad with me that you would chase after false idols? Something entices us. And God's saying, I thought I was everything to you. We were so in love. And Israel turns their back on God. Verse 6 through 8, it says, they do not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of desert and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness. This was a bad place, guys. In a land that none passes through, where no man dwells. And I brought you into a plentiful land to enjoy its fruits and its good things. But when you came in, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest did not say, where's the Lord? Those who handle the law did not know me. The shepherds transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that did not profit. So he's talking about what God did. He led them in the wilderness where no man could dwell. And then God gave them their own land. He gave them their own place. But Israel changed something from good to evil. They ran after other gods that didn't even profit. Like how Pastor Chris mentioned a couple weeks ago. They made these gods and then they worshiped them. It would be cool if someone imported some crazy statue and you could go, that's a god, but they're making gods and they're worshiping them. So God let them be able to live where no man could live and sustain their lives. They crept out the back and worshiped other man-made gods. How shady is that? After everything that God has done for these people, they just leave and turn their back on him again and again and again. Verse 9 through 13. Therefore, I still contend with you, declares the Lord, and with your children's children I will contend, for cross to the coast of Cyprus and see, or send to Kedar and examine with care. See if there has been such a good thing. Has a nation changed its gods, even though there are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, be utterly desolate, declares the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. And then he breaks it down for us. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken, that can hold no water. First he says, can a nation change its gods, even though there are no other gods but me? My people exchange their glory for worthless idols. And he's saying there's nothing to profit here. There's no benefit to chase after false idols. Sometimes in our adult lives, we chase after false idols thinking that the end is going to be great, and it's not. And then he's like, all of heaven, can you believe this? And the angels and the heavenly hosts are watching, looking at all of this, and they're thinking, really? Did you just trade in? Did you turn your back on God? And Jeremiah says Israel committed two evils, forsaken God, the fountain of living water, never needing and never ending. And the second, they dug their own cisterns. What's a cistern? It's like a jar. They're saying, God, we'll do this ourselves. And they don't realize the same cistern jar that they plan to fill up doesn't even hold water. It holds nothing. It's broken. I made the best soup this weekend. Guess where it ended up? And this is God. I'm putting my foot in my mouth. Just a good example. The thing that I put my soup in was broken, so it went all in my fridge. Good soup, broken cistern, right? It was broken. But I can tell you that nothing will make you happier and satisfied in life but God. Some of you have been searching and searching and searching, and you're not finding. Some of you have found it, and you're in love with God. Jeremiah 3:20 says, "Surely as a treacherous wife leaves her husband, so have you been treacherous to me, O house of Israel, declares the Lord." And he compares it like an unfaithful woman to her husband. God's like, I took care of everything for you, but you chose to go somewhere else? Really? What did I do wrong? But then trouble happens, and we see this in America today. Trouble happens, and what's the first thing people do? They run to God. You guys see a pattern how this works? They run to God. Israel went out and made new cisterns and they were broken. But it started with the temptation. They thought there was better outside of God. It's like having a broken cup and trying to pour water in it. And it pours out, right? You keep pouring and it keeps going through the bottom. It doesn't work. So the temptation, what is temptation? Why would we even want to turn our back on God? What is temptation? Temptation is like a desire to do something, especially wrong or unwise. There's a tempting. And I want to tempt you this morning. I got a wallet here. I got a wallet. There's something valuable in here. And I want to trade wallets with someone in here who's got a wallet with something in it. Something in it. You don't have anything in it. Sit down. Yes, he does. I'm kidding, dude. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, bro. Who wants to trade wallets? Come on, someone. Tom, you got some dough in there? You got some Benjamins? You got some Washingtons, huh? All right, let's do it. You ready? I hope it's good, man. Don't disappoint me. Hope this is good, Tom. Dude, you got 5, 10. You got some dough in there. Check it out. See what's in there, bro. What? Oh, there's nothing. Oh, he got a toy. You see that? That's Levi's wallet. Thank you, brother. You see what happened? He traded something that he thought was going to have more value. Tom had bucks in his wallet. He had cash. He did. He had cash in there. This is a picture of temptation. You think there's something better in there, and then you walk away with nothing. Every time. You think there's something better, and you walk away with nothing. Israel chose other religions and other gods that they could indulge their sin in, right? They left God because God's like, don't sin, it's death. And they're like, no, I'm cool. This God said, I can sin, and it's okay. Israel chose that over God. What a bad trade. But we do the same thing. We do the same thing. They said, it's okay, we'll use our own broken buckets to fill us up with polluted water. That's what happened to Israel. Go to the book of James, chapter 1. This is a really interesting portion of scripture. I've only been in ministry about 4 years, and sometimes when I read stuff, I'm like, oh, that's really good. And other times I read it, and I hear what it's saying. I'm not, you know what I'm saying, David? Like, you read it, and sometimes you skim over it, and you're like, oh, that's good. I did my devotion. Sometimes you read the word, and it hits you. And you're like, I've never really thought of that. James chapter 1, verse 13. He says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. So God isn't enticed by evil, and he doesn't tempt people. I mean, can you really choose to sin and then say, God, why are you tempting me? It's ridiculous. Verse 4, but each person is tempted when he is lured. I like that word, lured. And enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. So desire goes to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. So there's desire, sin, death. Remember that when you're about to sin. Just know this isn't going to work out in the end. Empty wallet. Notice, and then it says, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Notice it says lured, like a fish eating bait, a shark hook inside of a worm dangled in front of a fish. And whenever you're tempted, it's your decision. Do you know there's actually fish out there that don't take the bait? Yeah, it happens. I've fished. I've not caught anything. There's fish that just, they smell it and they go, that's bogus. They go, that's bogus. This is a hook inside of a worm. I've seen it before. You understand that, right? In our Christian walk, we should be mature enough to go, that's bogus. That's going to kill me in the end. I shouldn't even touch that. But God blesses those who stand strong under trial. So enticing. What is enticing? I brought a few props. I hope you guys like this. Hang on. Enticement. Right here, baby. Right here. Booyah. Booyah. Look at that. Dollar bills, y'all. What do you think about that, Dana? It's pretty fake. Oh, $200, right? Isn't this what the devil does to us sometimes? I mean, it's Monopoly money, but sometimes the devil is like, hey, man, don't read your Bible. Don't even fellowship with people. You can make money. Wait a minute. There's more important things. There's more important things in your life than making that. We understand that. For the first 20 years, 30 years, I thought that was the end goal. I really did. I thought making money was it, and I would be happy. Not even close. The enticement's horrible. It really is. Satan says, come on, just take it. I actually put Stan in here. I forgot the other A. It's Satan. Stan says, come on and take it. All right, I gotta be serious now. He does everything to entice you. He does everything to you so you're not active in church. You know that, right? If we're the body God wants to use us, what does that include? It means we have to have time for him. He does everything to steal that from you. Your family, your relationship with God. Do this instead. Do this instead. The grass is always greener. Just go ahead and take it. And what happens when the fish takes it? I wouldn't ask any of you because this is a rusty hook. It's been in my dad's garage. You'd probably get tetanus or whatever. But if you grab that, you would hook your hand on it. And Satan says, come on, take it. So for some of us, temptation is like this all day. All day. For some of us, we're constantly saying no. It doesn't have to be $100. It could be anything that will lead you away from God. Most of the time, Gordon Fry is Gordon Fry's worst enemy. I'm just being honest. I'm your brother. Most of your time, I'm my worst enemy. And sometimes, Satan comes at you all day, and you forget about God. And I admit that. Sometimes Satan comes at you nonstop all day, guys and girls alike. And I have something to show you. It's excellent. Hang on, one more prop. You're gonna love it. I gotta be careful with this thing. You could poke an eye out. So sometimes, can you guys hear me out? Come on now. You guys hear stuff, hang on. Wait a minute. Sometimes temptations like this, nonstop, all day long, men and women. I'm trying to bring a point home. Amy said, you just can't have Barbies up here. And you know what I said? You're right. Dana, this is for you. I got Luke Skywalker here. And he's missing his arm. Dude, we're laughing, but isn't this what it's like in America? Do this, buy that. Hey, we'll make decisions for you. You don't need to follow God. That's silly. It's been 2,000 years. He's not back yet. Don't worry about it. These are my niece's donations, by the way. They're not mine. These. The beer can. Yeah. This is what we see all the time. You turn on the TV, money, sex, party! Don't worry about tomorrow. This is what we see all the time. I gotta tell you a story about the hat. It's my wife's hat. It's a great hat. Was a great hat. Alright, that was a silly illustration, but I'm bringing out the big guns. We are tempted all the time. But we have to fix our eyes on Jesus all the time. There might be a lot of distractions in your face, right? You got worry. Oh my goodness, how am I going to pay this bill? You got someone in the hospital. Oh God, please heal them. Excuse me. You have all these things that are going on. When if you just stop and fix your eyes on Jesus, it's much, much better. It's way better. And the Bible says if you truly love God, remain faithful until the end, everything will be fine. And that's all he asks. Have you had time to really focus on God in your life? I'm not saying just coming to church. I'm saying, have you stopped and just thought about it? Like, what are the distractions in my life? What's bringing me down? Sin is missing the mark. When we take our eyes off the goal, that's what happens. And you'll never have joy if you choose idols in this world over God. It's like an empty well. It's like, Tom, it's like the empty wallet. Truly, when we choose sin over God, that's what happens. We're leaving an inheritance. You were this close. Now, if our fathers were billionaires, would we worry about things? I mean, we would worry about things, but would we worry about, like, what the regular things, like what we're going to eat, where our money comes from? No. God is our Father. He'll always take care of us. And when we fight sin and fight temptation, there's a way out. There truly is a way out. How could Israel choose idols over God? The same reason we choose this world over God. Some of you this week were nibbling at the bait. Some of you weren't even trying to swim away. This has just been a custom lifestyle for you. Some of you bit and you pulled it down and it got caught. And some of you don't even want to be in this room right now because it's awkward because the Holy Spirit is talking to you. I have no apologies for that. The Holy Spirit talked to me before I even put this together. Don't turn your back on a father who loves you or a husband who's given everything and wants it to be yours. God is always better. The light side is always better. The light side is always better. Living on the dark side is dark and rotten. Anyone live on the dark side for a little bit in your life? Come on, anyone? The dark side where you're like, oh, this is evil. You remember your old life, who you were? You were nasty, but God made you clean. He really did. I treated it, yeah, let's do it. Yeah, God made us clean. Man, I spent a long time chasing a rock and roll dream. I put my life in my rock and roll quest in front of my wife for years. I want you to know that. But I've seen a significant change when I began to follow after Jesus and choose not to be married to this world, but to be married to Christ. I don't want the world's things anymore. It doesn't even make me happy. Sin, oh my goodness, when you're done with it, you feel horrible. What are you choosing over God? Remember how excited we were when we met Jesus. And think of how excited Israel was when God led them out of being slaves under Pharaoh. They were in love with God. And now they're seeking other gods. He kept them alive in a wilderness and they murmured against him, but he showed them grace and they still sought after other gods. Some of you come from a family that maybe at one time followed God. Maybe your heritage really was a Christ-following family and it's not like that anymore. It gets lost in the bloodline. Maybe you only get close to God when tragedy hits, when you need something. What Israel has done, what has Israel done to deserve judgment? They walked away from God and chose false gods and false hope. They were trying to fill their cistern with water and it was broken. Why is God so upset? It was his bride. Imagine if you were in that situation, guys. If that happened to you and your wife just bailed on you. Even though we're guilty, Jesus died on the cross for us. And there were no sins attached. If you don't know God, truly, you can know him today. It's a free gift. And I just want you to know that sometimes we get lost in the shuffle. We get lost after chasing worldly things. We do. We get lost and we wear that silly hat that I had on, but we look at it and that's all that's in front of us all day. And we have to follow after God. Does all this make sense? It's like 25 minutes. I hope this lesson
makes. Little change in your view. Spending time with God every day, like 5 minutes a day, just in silence, thinking about God, thinking about what you can do to please Him, asking for his help. Just in the morning, give yourself, wake up 5 minutes early every day just to spend time with God for 5 minutes. 5 minutes a day would change as you get to know God.
You do.
As you get to know God, your views on everything, worldly, earthly, it dissipates. You have no earthly desires anymore.
I appreciate you saying that. And it's true too, because when you spend, and he says 5 minutes, I mean, this is God who has rescued us from hell. This is our God who's changed our lives. Some of you guys in your life, you were driving down the wrong lane going 90 and not caring. Right? I was in the passenger seat with you. We were going down the wrong lane, but God changed us. So why can't we give him 5 minutes of our time, 10 minutes, an hour? Right? Maybe you don't have time for God. Maybe he's someone you once followed and now you've chosen other gods. And I just want to encourage you. We have one more song that we're going to play. But I'd love to pray with you after the service. I really would. The elders would. You know what? If you want to break away and pray with someone after the service, that's fine. That's what the family's for here. We have one more song and then we'll hang out with fellowship a little bit afterwards. And thank you. Yes, sir.
Jesus showed us how to live. And one of his things is spending a great deal of time with his Father, with our Father, in heaven. Every day, he set time apart and never broke for life.
Yeah.
Because Jesus showed us how to live, and that's what we should do.
He did, through prayer and through time alone. Jesus made the best example of spending time alone with God. And I challenge you, if you don't have that time alone with God recently, please do it. Even if it's 5 or 10 minutes, we should really give him more because he's God. But we would most definitely, he'll love you for that.